You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother Canada 8 recap podcast. It's the first eviction of the season. I'm your host, Tern Armstrong, and with me tonight is Rob Sesternino. How you doing, Rob?
Oh, Taryn, it's so great to be here. What an unprecedented night. So
truly.
Unprecedented. So unprecedented.
Never happened before.
Oh, my God.
Are you okay?
We're here. I know we just got started. I'm sorry. I have to leave. I apologize.
Oh, no.
I'm going to self-evict.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Well, we support Rob's decision here on Rob Has a Podcast.
The other way.
Yes. Also here with us tonight is Brent is here with us. Brent, who will never leave.
Oh, I'm going to be here for a long time.
We try to vote him out. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it doesn't really work when you try to get rid of me. I just come back like the plague, Terrence.
Yeah.
I'm here to talk about all the Big Brother Canada house guests. And I have to say, we did a good job on the draft. I think we did a really good job.
Did you guys have spoilers? Rumors that this guy was going to be that? I said, oh, let me look and see who had him in the draft. 16 out of 16.
Well, to be clear, we knew who the first four people in danger were. So
yes.
That was out there.
I
was taking Min Lee like number 7. So I don't know about everybody else, but I was.
Yeah, that was a great pick.
I know, right? That was
good. Yeah, if you missed the draft, it was just three of us. So we did five teams of five, which means one person was left out. Nico happened to be that person. He would have been near the bottom of my draft list, even if I hadn't known that he was one of the four people in danger, just based on what I saw from him in the preseason.
Yeah.
But despite that, we got that one right here. maybe we know what we're doing a little bit. Maybe
a little.
Yeah. But here we are, Big Brother Canada 8. It's the first live eviction of the season. And what an interesting one. We have a week without an HOH. We've got competitions to determine the nominations. And then ultimately a self eviction. The first of its kind on Big Brother Canada, at
least. Unprecedented.
You really, really loved the unprecedentedness of it, Rob.
So unprecedented.
Yes. I did feel like Arissa spoiled it a little bit at the top of the show.
Yeah.
With the big reveal.
Yeah.
Like big announcement.
Yeah. Because then throughout the entire episode, I was looking for context clues about, okay, who is the show leading me to? Who is going to get the boot here? Like, because I was pretty sure someone was going to quit or have to quit or want to quit.
Yeah.
And, you know, quickly I was able to determine with all the moody shots of Nico by himself that it was probably going to be this guy.
Yeah, to be fair, I thought somebody was going to quit. Also, I thought Ming Lee might walk out.
There was a moment in time where I was worried about that. But then I quickly got back on the Nico train.
I managed to avoid the spoilers all afternoon.
Yeah, see, I knew the spoilers. So then even when I was worried about that, I'm like, oh, yeah, she was in like the 38 second feeds leak that we had where we saw Ming Lee in the house. So I'm good.
Yes, I did avoid the spoilers, but I did get a heads up that there would be no exit interview tomorrow earlier today.
Yes.
So,
I was I that's what also gave me a head that I saw that there was talk of no exit interview. So I knew somebody was leaving, but I didn't know who.
Well, at the time I thought like, okay, well, maybe this just means there's some kind of last minute battle back plan. But it makes sense now. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. So here we are, Big Brother Canada 8. I have to say, you know, even though we haven't seen too much from this cast quite yet, and the first boot was a quit, I'm still pretty pleased with what I've seen so far based on this episode from this cast. Seems like there's a lot of people who are playing pretty hard, and we're seeing a few different factions here starting to form in the house, Brent.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this cast. I've been excited about it since I saw them. I didn't understand what people who weren't excited about this cast were talking about. It is a little, like, I don't want to say numbing, but disconcerting to see, like, the four random pretty white people all getting into an alliance together and call themselves the evictors. Like, I was, like, looking for a little bit more...
Cancel the feeds, that's it.
I was looking for a little bit more hetero... Ajumani, I forget the word.
But don't you have that in the other alliance? You need that... every alliance has to be that... What if the other alliance is just dunking on those guys?
It looks like these people are in power, so I am a little worried. But, I'm definitely more in tune with the Carol and Suzanne and Brooke and Sheldon, and I forget who else was in that alliance, Karen. But yeah, I'm more with them.
Yes. All right. Well, let's walk through the episode here. We did start it with Arissa giving us this a shocking thing happened.
So unprecedented.
Unprecedented. A first in the 8 years of Big Brother Canada. I believe Big Brother Canada, we had Ramsey, who left because his father was ill. And was there anybody else that hasn't been straight up evicted from Big Brother Canada? I can't think of any.
I'm sure the chat will tell us if we're wrong.
I mean, unless you count people that were screwed by a twist as not really necessarily evicted. So one of the first scenes we get was Suzanne talking with I believe Min Lee about female energy in the house, that they feel like there's a lot of people who feel like they want a female winner this season. I was a little surprised to hear this after
people on Twitter.
The people on Twitter have infiltrated their brains. They have brain transformed the house guests to want a female winner. We did hear a lot of this from Jess last season in Big Brother 21. It did not work out particularly well for Jess. We'll see how it goes this time around. Of course, also could be one of those things where it's like, you know, you just met each other. Like, it's one of the obvious things you have in common. So you might as well talk it up, right, Rob?
Mm-hmm. Talk it up. Yeah. No, I thought that Melissa made a good point on the draft when you guys were talking about that, about like, women get asked about that. And then the only acceptable response is like, we're doing it. Girl power. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. It's not necessarily the best look to be like, nah.
No,
I don't want. I don't want to work with the women. I don't want a woman winner.
Not my thing.
Yeah. So, if somebody did that, I'd be much more concerned for them. They can't read a room. Interesting stuff. I do wonder how much of this actually exists in the house and how much of this was just an early conversation. We also saw a couple of different like flirty scenes. We first saw Chris and it seems like she's going by Maddie in the house, which is unnecessarily confusing because there have already been two Maddies, but that's fine. So Chris and Maddie were flirting a bit, I guess. He talks about his private practice.
My God. All the metaphors this season. Even Arissa was doing it. Chris and his big brain.
So big. And Maddie was very impressed with his big practice.
He's like Chris Hemsworth and Leonardo DiCaprio all rolled into one.
I will say this, though, that I got her attraction to him because when he's not on, as I said on Twitter, he is so much more likable. Like, I was like, you're actually a nice person and you seem like a genial type of guy and I'd like to get to know you. But like, you know, the asshole that Taryn and I saw on the promo video talking about brain transformation specialist, like that guy seemed like a snake oil con man. So I'm glad to see he's a little bit more normal.
He feels to me like the, is it Chris Traeger on Parks and Rec? Is that his name? Just the eternal, like, optimist that's just, he's just in his own world, right? And in his world, he transforms brains legitimately. And it's a very happy world where things always will work out for him. And so I feel like that's just who Chris is. And there's an appeal to that.
Ann Perkins, I am here to transform your brain. You are literally the best brain that I have seen in this house. I can't wait to transform it.
It really seemed, you know, we talked about Maddie preseason as somebody that seemed destined to get into a showmance. There was definitely some thirst showing through here, Brent.
Yeah, but that's, we call that, though. This is one of the few people who was like, yeah, I like boys. I mean, I don't like boys, but I like boys. Like, so I'm like, okay. Yeah, we know what you're going to give us. I know, right? Yeah. My mind. Oh my God. Some of this is predictable. Some of this is not. I'd rather talk about the more interesting stuff that happened right in the house rather than, you know, Maddie hooking up with some guy.
All right. Well, I'm curious to know how interesting you found the next set of flirtation, Jamar and Ming Li.
This was good TV.
So I tweeted this out. This quote unquote flirtation was essentially, you're gross. No, you're gross. You're disgusting. You're disgusting. You're so nasty. You're so nasty. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I was expecting a little more from Mr. Suave here.
She called it, though. I mean, he is like an aesthetically great looking dude. He is gorgeous, but he has the mind of a 5-year-old. I mean, like, that is what it's like. I mean, I don't know. Like, I know that the show was definitely having a little fun with him with the you feel me kind of thing. But then he also realizes that it's a thing because later on in the challenge, he was like, you feel me, you feel me, you feel me. Like, he just, like, he knows it's a thing. So I feel Minley's pain on this because he's so gorgeous, but yet he's such a child that it seems almost like you're robbing the cradle by hooking up with him.
Taryn, I was surprised we didn't get the answer to Banana Peel Gate. I was waiting to get some sort of a flashback of whether or not he left the banana peel in
thanks,
the bathroom.
Big Brother Canada, appreciate it.
I mean, I don't know. The whole banana peel thing might have been a substitute for something else. I don't know.
Like what?
I know what he's talking about. Go ahead.
There was a moment with Jamar later in the episode that I also enjoyed when Suzanne is feeling very defeated after losing the mental competition. She's sitting in the Expedia room, which they spent a ridiculous amount of time in order to, I guess, get the logos in there. But she's like sad in that room, and he comes in. And he's staring at the mirror, checking himself out. Like, I'm just here to make sure you're okay. Just here to make sure. Not looking at her, checking himself out in the mirror the whole time as he says it. I just like this. This is this guy. This is who he is.
Yeah, but that's okay. We enjoy this. This is good TV, Taryn. We like people who are fun, who are sassy, who bring it, who can laugh at themselves, who are a little narcissist. Like, a little narcissism on reality television is okay with me.
Well, I mean, that's not surprising from you.
Sounds about right.
So we also did get a bit of a heads up that Nico is having some trouble. He's facing so much adversity right away, and that it's not going well, Rob.
Oh, poor Nico. Poor Nico. Am I supposed to care about Nico?
No,
I really don't. You know what? If Nico's happy now, I'm happy. But you know, not super invested in the Nico story.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's hard to be when you've known him for about one episode total.
Never cared.
Yeah, you didn't really get to see much of him from the previous episode, so it's like, I feel like even like Megan from Big Brother 19, we had like more from her in the episodes.
Megan was Rachel Riley compared to Nico.
Yeah. So like, and you saw like the whole storyline of like what happened and why. Whereas Nico is essentially just like, yeah, this sucks. And then it was like, yeah, I'm
outie.
Yeah.
So can we just talk about this? Because this is I just want to talk about this. I feel like we have to talk about it. So I understand where Risa's coming from on the show. Like, you know, we support Nico and all of his circumstances, and you never know what people are thinking, and be kind. Okay. You know what? I'm going to be kind as I can be, but I have to call them as I see them. Let's be clear about this. Karen, I saw you on Twitter and you were like, you know, look, it must be really hard for Nico. Like, let's understand the circumstances that Nico's in, because he came into the house. He was instantly told that him, along with three other people, were not liked by Canada, which is not really what they said, but they were in the bottom four, and they were going to have to fight for their lives. And even though that he's not specific to sharing those circumstances, there are three other people that share them, then it's something that we have to consider. So I get that. However, what I will say to you is this, that I would buy that more if he quit after he heard the vote. Like, this is a guy who, like, he heard he was in the bottom four, and then he was like, you know what? I'm okay. I can still save myself here. I can go out and win this strength competition, and I'm good. It wasn't until he lost the first two competitions and then was on the block that then he was like, boo-hoo, oh my God, I need to leave. And I don't really respect that. And where I'm coming from is this, because it seems like that he, let's be clear about this. This is a guy who we've seen on reality television before, who just wanted to take his ball and go home. Rob, he wanted to be the author of his own fate. He's just like Brandon Hance. He's like, you know what? I'm out of here. I don't want to deal with you people anymore. And it really does piss me off, because it was only one more day. Like, and like, let's be clear. Like, there was no mental issues going on here that I could see. It was
we don't know that.
The show is telling us, though, it just, like, he got a little boo on his chin, and I'm like, oh, sorry,
no, it was it seemed like that's what it seemed like, that basically, you know, he was fine. You know, he had three chances to stay in also, Taryn, that's more than any of these other first boots get, and then just I'm leaving. I don't care. I'm glad they didn't, like, convince him to stay, like we've had with, you know, in Big Brother US over the years, of, like, people in the diary room for 9 hours and begging them stay there. If he wants to leave, leave. Who cares? But it did seem like it was a bit of the crybaby-itis.
Yeah, not for nothing, though. I think that, like, if the show's twist was so devastating to him that he ultimately quits the game, the show has a little bit of incentive to sort of be like, to sort of undermine that narrative, right?
But
right?
Somebody has to go home. Want everybody to do good and go far, but one person does have to go home.
But we heard from the audience from the premiere taping that he was literally in tears when he heard that he was in the bottom four. We didn't see that in the episode. Normally, they wouldn't shy away from, you know, showing somebody breaking down over this, right? But it was probably not a very pretty sight, and the show caused that, right?
So this is what happens when you don't cast fans on the show. To my knowledge, he wasn't really a fan of the show, because if you're a fan of the show, you understand
he should care less
that the producers can, like, the videos are not representative of you. Like, I'm a little mad with Big Brother Canada as well, but the way they did this, like, having people vote on these videos online is just going to get you such a skewed sample. Like, what? Like, this is what they should have done, okay? To real. Because it's so mean to tell people, too, okay, your country didn't vote for you right when you enter the house. That is mean right off the bat. So if the show wants to go with this be kind narrative, Arissa, why don't you and the people over at Big Brother Canada take your own advice and be kind? Be kind to these people and don't do this kind of thing to them. If you want to have a competition like this where the four people are in the bottom and then you have these sort of physical and mental and social competitions after the fact, just have, like, one big challenge in the house. Hide, like, you know, 12 medallions, and if you find a medallion, then you're fine, because it would have given us an equally random sample than what we got right here.
I think it's all the same. If you want to really get ticky tack with it, say, you know, don't have a night two eviction. And I'm not sure what night it really is in the house, Taryn, but in terms of, they always want to do an eviction by the second night on Big Brother Canada. I get that. But whether it's, you know, Andrew goes and picks up a certain dish, and now he's picking the people that are going to be in the competition.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's there's no great way to pick the people that are going out the first night. He had three chances to save himself. One was based on strength. One was based on mental power. The other was a social vote between him and one other person in the house. He couldn't do any of them. And he goes home, and this is the last night we'll ever say Nico in the history of the podcast.
Well,
Nobody will think about Nico ever again.
Let me say this. I think that had this been decided by a competition or an initial, even just random, you know, pick a dish, whatever, I don't think Nico self evicts. I think that's the difference. And I think that's worth noting.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. So again, if the show wants to be kind, why don't y'all be kind? Stop doing this shit. Like, this just makes people feel bad. Like, who wants to walk into a house when you're waiting to be judged by your country to instantly be told, oh, sorry, honey, they didn't vote for you. And with no information from the outside world. Now, if you're a fan of the show, you understand that, okay, I know that they put up some video of me online and people voted, and we don't know what the producers showed of me in the video, so they can make me look as bad or as good as they probably want to. So it's not indicative of my personal appeal. Okay. If you're a fan, you know that, but he didn't know that.
Can I ask a question? Now, I didn't see the videos. I didn't vote in the preseason. Was Nico misrepresented in his video, Brent? Or
he was a little.
Can you not
cocky.
Put lipstick on a pig here? No. Is there any way to make Nico exciting in his video?
No, I don't think so. He was pretty boring. And again, this was a save vote, meaning like, you know, they're not going to pick the people that they hate. It basically, if you were liked, you were getting votes. And so if you were not boring, you were getting votes. Although I still don't understand how Chris ended up in the bottom four, but whatever. There was a reason for people to vote for you if you were interesting. And he came off a little bit cocky in his video. He also came off really cocky in his interview with Aika. This is the same guy who said that, you know, Anthony was basically a luck box last year and had no game whatsoever. And the minute I heard that, I was like, okay, you have no idea what you're talking about. You're obviously a recruit. Get out of here. So again, okay. I think that Nico did them a favor, honestly, because a lot of times we get so bent out of shape, Taryn, about the people that leave on the first night or the second, you know, the second premiere night. And here we don't have to get bent out of shape. We're like, you know what? He quit. Girl, bye. Let's move on.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, for me, this is still way better than a night one eviction in terms of how I feel about it.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And like the final word for me on this is that, like, regardless of your opinion on the quit, I think that all three of us can agree that we don't need to be going out of our way to attack Nico on social media or shame him or harass him in any way because of a quit.
If anybody is looking up Nico to attack him on social media, get a life.
Yeah.
That Nico is too boring to even attack. There's no reason to attack him.
Let him exist however he wants to exist, and we can all be happy.
If I was Nico, I'd be happy if somebody was even looking me up. Please, somebody attack me. I'm so bored. Nobody cares about
me. Rob. Rob, as we all know,
if I was Nico, I would be happy somebody would be interested enough to attack. Do we know? Are people actually attacking people? Or are we just talking about the idea?
I just looked at my mentions and like the language being used about Nico. I was like, whoa, okay.
Well, are they mentioning him?
No, I don't think his Twitter is even active right now.
Yeah. Nico, hey. Enjoy it while it lasts. 24 hours from now, nobody's ever going to remember Nico again.
Great advice from Rob.
Bask in the mentions right now, Nico. Take it all in. It will be short-lived.
And there you go.
Turn the Twitter back on, buddy.
All right, so... We have a mental competition. How did you guys feel about this? They had four different like action figure dolls that they had to remember details about and then answer questions about. I actually really enjoyed the different archetypal sort of stations of players in the game. They start off with the floater. And then they have the showmance where they had Maddie and Michael, which I thought was interesting considering we just saw a segment where she was flirting with Chris. And we have Carol like, oh, they have such great chemistry. I just root for them. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is who I thought she was going to get with. But didn't we just see her with Chris? And then the comp beast, who they said refuses to study trivia and therefore is not as much of a threat as you think. And then the bitter juror who is booed, and they're like, oh, this person makes it all about them. I was like, man, they're really pushing this idea that people hate bitter jurors and you probably shouldn't be one. I'm kind of okay with that.
I love this. I thought this was great. I mean, like, you can say that the true false thing was a little bit like, you know, yeah, we've seen that 1,000 times, but like the mechanism to get there was so fun. And I appreciate the fact, again, Trevor Boris and the costume team at Big Brother Canada having Michael with like practically no clothes on inside the box with Madeline. Like, that was very fun for me to watch. Also, the fact that they always named all these people as like the floater and the bitter juror and the showman's like, it's so meta on Big Brother Canada these days and Big Brother in general that I really, really enjoyed it.
Taryn, do you feel like, was there any sort of advantage or disadvantage to be the people that were in the boxes? Like, for instance, for Jean-Luc to be painted the floater, if people sort of like that are in the house are like, oh, okay, I get it, he's the floater this season. Is that a good perception or a bad perception to have?
I mean, it depends on what kind of game Jean-Luc is trying to play, right? Is he trying to be a respected player in the game, or is he trying to be underestimated and seen as a non-entity?
It lowers your threat level.
I mean, it could. I mean, I think the costumes also impacted, though, where like Jean-Luc didn't really look a whole lot like Jean-Luc because he had this huge thing on. Whereas
Marshmallow Man.
I feel like the biggest one that probably had an impact was Kyle being the comp beast.
Yeah.
Because that kind of makes a lot of sense that you'd put him as the comp beast. And again, like the way it was worded almost felt like an argument for not taking comp beasts out of the game. Like, he's great at competitions, but refuses to study and is never going to win the game and therefore doesn't actually make it to the end, even though they seem really threatening. It's like that's an argument that a comp beast would make for themselves if they were in the game.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. I don't have any issues.
And what about the pairing of the showman's friend? Did that bother you at all?
I mean, it depends. Like, we don't know. Like, I'm confused. Like, are they actually together in the house? Like, it didn't bother me. I'm guessing they just said, like, hey, we need some people who want to volunteer for this competition. And then they, you know, we need somebody who wants to be the floater. We need somebody who wants to be the showman.
They definitely chose these ahead of time.
You don't think so?
I think in the premiere episode, they packaged together Maddie and Michael about like, she really wants a showmance. It needs to be somebody that loves
Maybe
animals.
They need to select them.
And then he's like, I've got this lovely little puppy in my abs right here. I'm ready for you, Maddie. And so they were like, we're sticking these two together in the showmance box. We're going to make this happen. But she had already been flirting with Chris. And so I was like, now what do we do? I don't know. Maybe ultimately they end up in an alliance together and like Chris is not in a part of. So I don't know. Maybe it isn't a thing.
Yeah, maybe it's an open secret. Again, you know, whatever. Is it a little bit unfair for a production to pick these people and put them together and put a big sign on them that says the showman's? Yeah, probably. But whatever. It's early.
Yeah. And so we see Chris, who has a big brain, and he is a brain transformation specialist, and this is, you know, you might think, oh, this big guy, he's a physical contender, but no, I've got the brain. It's time to show you guys who I am. Game changer. He's in the booth like and you know what, he does it. He wins the mental competition by 1 point.
Yeah, I was going to say, by the skin of his teeth, let's not oversell it here. He didn't dominate or anything like that. And like, there was a moment in time where Nico was going to change the box back to false, and then he kept it on true, and then, of course, he lost.
Yeah. It was a lot of bluster for somebody that only won by 1 point. Got a couple of questions wrong there.
Yeah, that's good TV, though.
Yeah,
great TV.
Kevin Martin is more of a brain transformation specialist, apparently, than Chris here.
I'm fine with Chris being the one who's selling it, though, Taryn.
All right. And like I said, we also had that weird scene with Jean-Luc where he just like walks into the Expedia room.
Yeah, I was waiting for something to happen there. I had no idea what that was about.
Something did happen. Yeah, he realized something.
I thought I had pizza yesterday.
Yeah.
That was his first night in the house. What do you mean you had pizza yesterday?
That was just random. They I don't know. Maybe they didn't mean to leave that in there. Like, I have no idea what that was.
My theory is that they are contractually obligated to have a certain amount of screen time for the Expedia room.
Is that it?
And so that they needed a scene in there to just kind of linger a little bit.
By the way, I love Jean-Luc.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Rob likes, I'm seeing some mixed reactions on John Luke. Some people are like, don't really try to make this guy happen.
Yeah, no, they're making him happen. He reminds me of John Paul Jones on Bachelor in Paradise, that he's just, he's basically the same exact guy if you watch that show. And I love that guy too.
I had
pizza yesterday. What?
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. all right. So we hear from Hira, who is going to talk about how he is the first guy with a turban on the show. He's talking with Brooke and Suzanne, I believe, about this. And this is a cool segment. I think probably what we expected from him so far. But he clearly is well spoken. I had high hopes for Hira coming in here. So I'm excited to see this and to see more from him in the future.
This is great. I love this. Like, I mean, I don't personally know anybody who is a Sikh like Hira, so this was great to see him on the show and explaining a little bit and like just talking about the turban and why he wears it and, you know, what it was like growing up and meeting new people. And like, you just love that kind of thing, because like, when, you know, I live in like, you know, the middle of Kentucky, like right where Indiana, Ohio and Kentucky all meet. And I just never get to meet people like this because they're just not around, you know. So I love seeing it on my television and getting to absorb something that's not, you know, from around here.
Yeah. And I really like just like what he's saying about, like, you know, he's, you know, people wanted him to, you know, be a certain way, but, you know, he's just who he is and he's going to, you know, just be that person. If he wasn't that person, then he'd be somebody else, which sounds obvious, but I feel like a lot of people don't really hear it. I'm very curious to know. I talked to Melissa last night about the premiere, and she had an opinion about the house that I actually kind of watching this episode. I was a little bit like, I actually see what she's saying here, that it's very loud visually. It's a very loud house. There's a lot of stuff to sort of distract you. And as I was watching the episode, I was kind of like finding myself drifting off, like looking at the anime walls and like the other stuff in the house. And I was like, wait, I haven't been watching the people. Rob, what is your opinion on the house?
Yeah, the house is pretty cool. You know, it's Big Brother Canada. You know, they put so much into the production design. It looks it looks gorgeous. Really, just like the HOH room with that the Frozen room looks incredible. I also like that a lot of the I think it was at least one of the bedrooms, but I like that it was sort of like the like monochromatic, like black and white. I feel like that the characters really pop off the screen in those rooms. So the house looks gorgeous. It really every single year puts Big Brother US to shame. Compare this to Camp Comeback. Even from a production design standpoint of like it's incredible.
It's really spectacular. If I would have been on the podcast with you and Melissa, I would have been like, Melissa, I don't know you. Like, I don't know you. Like, honestly, they should have the Big Brother house walking through the streets, like on Game of Thrones, yelling shame, shame, because like this house is so amazing compared to what we get. And I heard Melissa on the show and she was like, I just want a normal house.
A plain house.
Melissa wants a house.
Plain
like
house.
She wants a house like the Golden Girls. That's what she wants, with like a lanai and a patio. Like, that's what she wants. but no, like, this is crazy talk. Like, we love the house on Big Brother Canada. I never get tired of looking at it.
Plain house.
She wants a plain house.
It's a summer of basic here in the Big Brother house. Right. Everything is plain. We walked right into IKEA and said, we'll take the first thing you have.
Taryn is so excited.
I have sympathy for Melissa here. I'm normally the one that's being...
It's the plain yogurt of houses this summer. No blueberries in this house.
No, sir. too complicated. All right. So we do see that there are some seeds of a potential alliance being formed here, that Suzanne, Brooke, Sheldon, and Carol were all in a room talking about getting together in an alliance. The other two names that were mentioned as a potential members of this alliance were Kyle and Vanessa. And so I don't know if this group of six eventually formed, or if it ended up just being the four, or if it grew to even more than six. But this does appear to be either the core of a majority or the start of a majority group in the House that is going to make itself clear in later scenes in the episode. How do you feel about this group, Brent?
I love it. If it's something that can come together, I'm also really glad to see that Carol, who is the oldest person in the House, seems to be making some headway in terms of making social dynamics and bonds with people in a way that will serve her well in the early going of the House. She's well aware of the fact that on Big Brother Canada, the old person, again, she's younger than me, she's 44, is the person who's targeted usually in the Big Brother House. And I love the fact that her awareness is, it not only combined with this twist, gives her an opportunity to get a foothold in the House and, you know, potentially make a run at it here. So I'm liking what I'm seeing from all these people. And again, somebody like Sheldon, I love the fact that he's sort of, it looks like he's floating between like the jock studs in the House and like the misfits and, you know, hangers on in the House. And I feel like that's probably a pretty good place to be.
My hopes for Sheldon are so high.
It's, I know, right? Yeah, me too.
I'm just like, don't disappoint me, Sheldon. I don't want to go.
Yeah, you guys
tonight
were so over the moon over Sheldon on the draft.
Yeah, he had a buzzword. He said Kevin Martin, and we're like, oh.
Yeah, I really like Carol. I think Carol I didn't see the preseason stuff, but she just struck me as like very mature and mature in a way, not like where she's like separating herself from like the rest of the group of like, hey, I'm the old person. But I felt like that she was like very mature, like even in that situation that we'll get to later on where Suzanne comes in the room and wants to blow everything up. She was like really good at like keeping everything under control. So I feel like that she's set up very well.
All right. So we then get the scene from Ming Lee, who is, she says she's pissed because she doesn't have privacy and it's very annoying. And so we see that this eventually is going to blow up. She starts by saying to Angie, or maybe to just the room, yeah, like, hey, it would be nice if people were quiet when they walked into bedrooms. And so, you know, this seems like a situation where, I mean, I think what she's saying is kind of reasonable. She's probably not saying it in the most diplomatic way. And I think it's kind of making others feel a little bit defensive, like she's attacking them. And so we see Angie kind of defending like, oh, well, we, sometimes we don't know that you're here. Yeah. And all of this, Rob.
Yeah, it's not reasonable. She's not being reasonable. This is Big Brother. This is like, if this was like your roommate and this was like a real living situation, sure, that's reasonable. But if you're in the Big Brother House, And people are staying up late and talking, you should be up late and talking. There's no, yeah, oh, I'm going to bed early in the Big Brother House, you guys woke me up and now I'm going to yell at you. Like, what is it? Night two, night three, Brent?
Yeah, this was really a bad look from Ming Lee. I didn't understand where she was coming from in a house where you know that you're not going to have a ton of privacy. I think on balance, all of these people probably had it right. Like Ming Lee, like, is like, correct in that, you know, hey, on balance, you should be kind of nicer and look around when you come into a room. And Angie's kind of right in that you can't always tell where people are. And Kyle was kind of right in that, you know, it's not all about you and your tone kind of sucks. But like all of them, their tone kind of sucks. I don't think any one of these people handled this correctly. Like all of them get failing grades from me in there. Like you never know who's going to get power in the Big Brother House. So starting like Kyle deciding to pick a fight with Ming Lee because he doesn't like her attitude and he doesn't like the tone was terrible. And then later on, Ming Lee is in the diary room giving us victim noises about, okay, like I just want to talk to this guy. Yeah, because she's like, oh, like I don't understand why he's so mad at me. He's attacking me. And then like she's like, I just want to have a private conversation with him. But then she's upstairs and she calls to him from across the room.
Yeah.
Hey Kyle, can we just talk? That is not a private conversation, Ming Lee.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you're doing. Like all of you were terrible.
Yeah, Brent. That Kyle clearly apologized to her in that conversation.
Sorry that we all come in that we're loud. Sorry, Princess Min.
Sorry.
It's so Princess pronounced Min. That I was like, is he doing that on purpose or is that how he says sorry? I can't I couldn't tell.
I don't think it's on purpose.
Sorry.
Yeah. This is definitely, you know, I think Rob is right here that, like, even though theoretically this is a reasonable request, not only was it executed poorly, but in Big Brother, you should not be making these requests, because even if you execute them well, the people can still take it the wrong way. Yeah. And I'm very curious to know whether this blow up from Kyle, was this indicative of who Kyle is? Is he kind of like an aggro kind of dude? Or was this like the 20th straw, like after days of her complaining, and he just kind of lost it in this moment? I'm more inclined to believe he's aggro, but I also buy that Ming Li has been complaining a lot. So I think it still could theoretically go either way.
Yeah, I think probably both are true, Taryn. I think that he's a little aggro and she's definitely a little bit of a princess. So she's used to having her way and having a privacy and not being surrounded by 10 people when she's sleeping or going to the bathroom or doing her hair or doing her makeup. And this is an adjustment for her. So, you know, she's lucky that she won that competition early on and was safe, because if she was up to be evicted, I think she would have probably gotten the boot here if she was on the block.
The volatile vixen, Brent.
Yeah, I love that. I at least they're leaning into it. Look, I picked her for fun and giggles, and you never know what's going to happen on Big Brother Canada, but she's a mess. She's an absolute mess. Like, girl.
Yeah, and notably, like, Kyle seems to be the more popular one in the house, and I didn't see anybody like, oh, you don't listen to that meanie. It does seem like, which is not indicative of, like, her character necessarily, because we've seen, you know, good people be on the outs in the house, but it is indicative of probably where she stands strategically in the house, that she does appear to be on the outs here, Brent.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised by that, I guess. Like, after watching her even on the episode, like, even without feeds, okay, I've seen her videos online and I've seen her on the episode for two nights now. She's a handful, and she's not a handful in a fun kind of way. I feel like she's a handful in a I'm kind of a bitch kind of way, and she said that in her video, so I feel like it's okay for me to call her out for that. But that's how she's coming off right now. She's coming off like she's really entitled, and that's not good in a house like this. Like, I mean, at this point, if she even makes the jury, it'll be considered a victory. Like, I think she's gone. Like,
yeah.
But Slay Queen, we love you.
In that conversation, I think Kyle was saying that, like, that you think the whole world revolves around you, which is probably an indictment to have that said about you in the
way you talk to people. Oh my God.
Yeah. Also, in the back and forth that she was talking about, that he needs to whisper, he's like, okay, whisper, I hear you loud and clear.
Somewhere Nico is shaking. Also, like, the absurdity of what he was wearing as well. the whole time. I don't know if they're I legitimately can't tell if they're short shorts or if they're like tight briefs. I'm not sure, but they're, you know, this guy is a power lifter. He's showing off the quads, like, you know, it's impressive, but it's very silly to watch him get into an argument well dressed that way.
Yeah, well, that's what we pay for. Oh, I'm sorry. We don't pay for these feeds, but that's all we want. We want good TV. We want fun feeds, and he was certainly giving us that. So I'm on board with Kyle right now. He's fun.
All right. So we also see the beginning of what looks like another little alliance forming. This one seems like a sort of side alliance, maybe like a minority alliance. It consists of, we're now hearing the nicknames Maddie, Mike, Rianne, and John Luke, who does not get a nickname or abbreviation. Thank you. I love writing out John Luke every time I want to mention him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes
they go by JL John Luke's, I hear sometimes.
That would be nice. That would be really nice for my note taking. But yes, there's a 4-person alliance. They got to come up with a name.
Yeah.
Rob, what's the score here for the evictors?
In terms of their alliance name?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? Kind of basic.
A little basic. Yeah, they were wanting to lean into the superheroes theme. I don't really think it speaks to the superheroes theme as much as they think it does. It just speaks to more like it sounds more Big Brother-y than maybe I think they wanted it to. Like, I don't really get a ton of superhero from it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is a good, they're trying to match the theme. This is good. They're going to come up with a superhero. Like, at least if it's a bad name, it still kind of relates to the theme. And then they came up with the Evictors, which just doesn't really have anything to do with comic books.
Look, here's the thing. At least it doesn't have a number in it. We always talk about the people who have numbers. And
well, I wonder if they did like, oh, we'll be the Fantastic Four. And it's like, okay, you guys, you cannot do that. We are not licensed to do that.
All right, guys. Evictors assemble. Evictors assemble. You know, I kind of thought that hand signal was dumb. And then I did it like physically just now. And it feels even dumber doing it.
It's like the mini version of the shield. Yeah. Now you're down to like a finger.
Yeah.
It just, you do not feel powerful putting your two fingers together in front of your face. All right. So we then
nobody point their two fingers at Nico tonight. All right. Also, don't look at Nico's picture online and then do this to it. Please, people.
Yes. By the way, thank you, Joker's updates. So because normally they put a little X over the people who are evicted, they put a big fat quit across his face. So I appreciate you. Thank you.
Not
Joker.
Nice. Not nice.
So the people who, if the evictors are like the dominant, are the pretty boys of the season, right? Are they going to start to be like, guess what? You got evicted.
Evictor.
That's the word already.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, they were talking about doing it in their goodbye messages. Like, you've been had by the evictors. Like, nobody cares. Like,
all of them are evictors. Anybody that voted to evict you is your evictor.
Yeah. They're going to be like, was that an alliance or was he just saying that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
All right. So,
why did he have his fingers like that? it's a whole thing.
Yeah. Nico is telling Ming Lee that he already feels like he's out the door. And he's asking her, like, who are you voting out? It's me, right? You're voting me out, right? And it's like, whoa. Ming Lee tells us that Suzanne is a bigger threat than Nico, and Nico is the boring vote, and she doesn't want to make the boring vote. She wants to have an interesting vote. And so she's going to go and make a pitch to, it seemed like, Vanessa, Carol, Sheldon, and Hira were all in that room.
It doesn't even matter who was there. It was a room full of people. That was what you need to know.
Right. And
this was terrible on her part. But, I know I saw people on Twitter who were like, you know, I want to give it up for Ming Lee because she had it right. Nico is the person you want to keep. Suzanne is the bigger threat. Ming Lee was definitely trying to do something here. But boy, she went about it all wrong, Taryn. This was terrible.
Yeah, and importantly, like, a decent amount of those people were just the people that we were talking about as forming an alliance with Sue, like, people that are very clearly very close to her, and these are apparently the people that Ming Lee feels comfortable going to make a pitch, and even the pitch that she makes is, I think that that Nico is easier to, you know, like, control. For you? Like, what is this argument?
The argument sucked too. Like, what she needed to say was, Nico is the person who's more of a disaster in the house. Like, Suzanne is the person who's far more formidable in terms of competitions, social game, can keep her head down and not cause as many waves. Like, that's always the person you want to keep in the house, is the person who's a complete disaster. If she would have had some one-on-one conversations with other people and encouraged Nico to save himself while at the same time she's doing something, again, I think it's very hard to turn the tide when there's this many people in the house. Like, you're trying to, you know, circumvent what currently is probably like a, you know, a 14-0 vote or a 13-1 vote. Like, trying to move that many hearts and minds in a short time span is not easy, especially when you're the figurehead doing it. And if the other person finds out that you're the person who's doing it, which Suzanne did, that's going to create so much consternation between the two of you. So all around a failing grade for Ming Lee here.
Yeah, I was just talking to Andy about Survivor and how when people are just like kind of giving you one word answers, they're kind of blowing you off here. And they were very clearly blowing Ming Lee off here. Just like, sure. Yeah, have you talked to Sue yet? I haven't. I mean, she hasn't really. Yeah, I'm, you know, Yeah, sure.
Is that in like David Bloomberg's rules of Survivor and reality TV? Because it honestly should be. Like, it makes so much sense on Survivor and Big Brother when people are not invested in your conversation and they're literally just trying to end it and they're giving you one word answers or they're giving you whatever you want. Like, you, if you have an idea of a person you want to get out and they're like, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. Like, yeah. No, that is a death warning sign, like massive sirens and flashing lights. You're in trouble.
Yeah, that's definitely a great point, and I agree with both of you. I think that David's rules are a little bit more like top level of like the yeah. like don't have conversations with people that they give you a very brief answers. Like he doesn't get as granular as that is. But I always feel like that if I was ever gonna like go back on Survivor, I think that one of the things I would do is like last minute I would try to like change the plan and be like, oh wait, you know what? I was thinking about it. Okay, totally different name. What do you think? What do you think of that? And if they're like, yeah, okay, that's good. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. I'd be like, aha, I don't really care what I think.
Aha, I am getting voted out tonight.
Yeah. Oh. This is, I guess you could do this in real life. If you think somebody's going to stand you up where it's like, yep, you know, forget Italian. How about Chinese? Like, oh, okay, Chinese. Okay, good. Good.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're gonna ditch me. You're gonna call me last second and cancel.
To be fair though, I think like doing something like that probably increases the odds that they will blow you off in the future or for that particular instance.
Yeah. But on the reality show version of this, and then yeah. if they push back like, wait, why are you changing it? Why are you changing things? I was just brainstorm.
Then they're in confessional like, oh my god, Rob is such a wild card, he wants to change the plans the last second. Oh my god.
Yeah. If you were safe, now you're not safe. Like, they think you're such a wild card.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, that just to go back to my own experience in Survivor All-Stars, that when and this wasn't like a thing that was on camera, so it wasn't in the TV show, but when right before I got voted out, that, you know, I figured either Sue, Hawk, or Alicia were on the bottom of the tribe. And I liked Sue Hawk better than Alicia. And I talked with Boston Rob real quick. And I was like, I had a quick conversation. I was like, I'm like, you know, I feel like that we should do Alicia and then Sue. And he was like, very quick, like, okay, that sounds good. I was like, oh boy, that was real good. You know, I wasn't as smart then as I am now, but I always think back to that. Like, yeah, boy, he really just like blew me off real quick on that one. Yeah. It'll probably work itself out. It'll probably be fine.
At least you didn't make him feel trapped. That would have been bad.
No, I didn't try to tell him what we were going to do. I'm like, hey, whatever you want to do, you tell me. Well, I guess I didn't do that quite. But he didn't, you know, seem that interested in. No, I figured if I wasn't bothering anybody, I'd be okay. But no.
All right. So Carol is going to go straight to Suzanne and let her know that, hey, you know, Ming Lee's trying to flip the vote here. I don't know what she was thinking. She clearly doesn't know that we're friends. Again, this is a room full of people, including Jamar and Hira. I didn't realize Jamar might be a part of this. Clearly, you know, a part of something enough so that Carol feels comfortable, clearly bashing Ming Lee, who it seemed Jamar was flirting with earlier. I don't know how close he is with her, but he seems to be like nodding along like, yeah, this is a dumb move from Ming Lee. So maybe that's him playing well, or maybe that's him an indication that he's not actually that close to her. But either way, we'll probably know a lot more when we get to the feeds tonight. They're all like incensed. How dare she try to flip the vote? What is she thinking? And Sue's like, she came to my people. My people. It seems like Suzanne is doing pretty well. Like, she's got a big group of people that are really pulling for her.
But she's a hothead. She's great TV. I love Suzanne. I feel like she reminds me a little bit of Big Brother 20 Caitlyn, but like maybe like with a little bit more of like a more feisty.
Well, she says she's so fake, bro. She's so fake, man. She's so fake.
She wanted to go out there and have it out with her right then. And Carol's like, no, stay in here. Mm-hmm. Please don't. Yeah.
And again, like, I swear I say this every season, this concept of like, oh, these people are so fake. They're pretending to be nice to me, but meanwhile they're campaigning to get me out of the house. How fake of them. That's literally the game. That's the entire point of the game. If they weren't doing that, they'd be idiots. And so
it was really great that she was like, so she came into my room with my people.
Right.
Like, and Carol's like, no, she doesn't know. She just doesn't know. If she knew that we were working together, she wouldn't have said anything. So now if you go say something, then but she disrespect, like,
you disrespect me
in my room.
Truly the Boston Rob of the Big Brother Canada house. Suzanne feels bad for Nico. Nico feels bad for Nico. He doesn't want to stay all the way to the live eviction. He says he'd rather not know what the vote is. And so he,
spoiler alert,
he heads into the diary room, and we get like a montage of like him quietly contemplating. My understanding of these self eviction conversations is that, there's not a lot of like quiet contemplating. It's usually like, don't do this. So I don't know how accurate this was.
Do you think that the Big Brother producers might have been like, you want to self evict, Nico?
Well,
you know,
here's
our
the
big
thing.
Cast. Maybe we didn't nail 16 out of 16.
Yeah, and I gotta say, like, I don't mind. That we skipped a big like 16 person live vote, which would have taken like 15 minutes, and we knew it would have been unanimous or whatever. Like, we skip over that. We get more time in the house with the players. Like, I don't care what the vote would have been. I don't think I do.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah,
like, whatever. I think it would have just gotten a few people into trouble who might have like Min Lee or Chris, who wanted to maybe throw Nico a pity vote or something like this. But whatever, just let him go. Again, he doesn't want to be there. Once he's made the decision, I feel like let's just move on.
Yeah. I'm very okay with the edge of extinction sale in the Big Brother house. You don't want to be here anymore? Raise the sale. Get on out.
You can just
go home.
I'm just imagining like Arissa, like, it's the conditions in that house are so bad. It's truly a test of endurance to see who will not quit.
Yeah. Yeah. He lives in Toronto anyway. You could catch the bus home if you leave soon.
Yes. So there it is. Nico has decided to self evict, and the Aaron Brock calls all the house guests into the living room, and they're like, "Uh-oh." And she lets them know that that Nico has self evicted, and it seemed to me that the response was they saw this coming.
Let him know that we support him.
Yeah.
Not like in a vote if it came down to it, but in general.
But not a vote.
Let him know that no, I definitely would have voted for him. Definitely would have happened, you know, if only he had stayed. Is the thing. I love Chris, like, tell him I love him. Tell him I support, whatever it was. And don't tell him we all do. It's like, yeah, everyone.
Whatever.
Yeah,
I ranted enough about it.
All right, so that's our episode. That's our first eviction episode. What a weird way to start the season.
Unprecedented.
No HOH, a self eviction. Has the game even started yet? I don't think it has.
Well, I mean, it has in some ways. Like, obviously, we've got different factions forming. Mm-hmm. I know that was a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
I love the fact that this happened, and we've got a lot of people who are working hard to build alliances and factions, and let's see what happens. But
all right,
what's up, Rob?
Tinfoil hat theory. Okay,
yes.
Tell me, Brent. This is I'm in your territory here right now. Okay, Nico was the Scaramucci of Big Brother Canada. He was a plant. He lives in Toronto. They hired this guy. Come in the house for a couple days. Look. We told the sponsors we have an eviction on night two. Okay, we don't want to do that. Let's just like put this guy up on the block. He's just gonna walk out. Okay, it was a twist. He wasn't really ever supposed to be here.
He had a conference scheduled for tomorrow.
I don't feel like
don't worry, Nico. We'll tell everybody to be nice to you when you leave. Nobody will be that mad.
It could have been that
he wasn't
been
a fan
because I think he was first out on the strength competition, or at least second out. So he like threw that, and then he threw the mental comp. He was never like, I feel like this could work, Rob.
And then all the people that they like, that they hear, that, you know, they all make it a second week, but it's like, but we, you know, we told the network we'd have an eviction on the second night.
I'm really excited that I never have to say Miko again. There's no, and he's like, I'm also really excited that there's no
Miko.
Big Brother camp comeback where they're gonna have the preachers come back. Like, maybe they'll do something later on, but right now they're not doing anything. They just let him leave.
Yeah.
Girl, bye.
All right. there we have it. That is our first eviction episode of the season.
I can't wait for the Taryn show with Nico so we can get the whole story.
Yes. So we do have some spoilers. The feeds have turned on. And we know the winner of the HOH, and just like some tiny tidbits here and there as well. So if you are going to leave us before we get into spoilers, thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you tune in tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern if you want the spoilers tomorrow morning. It's a live feed update. And then, of course, Sunday night, we'll be recapping Sunday's episode of Big Brother Canada 8. And Tuesday night is our roundtable where we talk about the feeds, the whole week of feeds, and we rate the players. It's very fun. Check it out. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Rob is at Rob Sesternino. So without any further ado, let's do the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Spoilers!
I haven't heard that in so long.
Yeah,
it has been a while. All right, so we have a new HOH, and that HOH is our resident brain transformation specialist. he controlled that basketball with his brain, and he is the new HOH, our first HOH. Oh, Chris is our first HOH.
This is so great. Like, Big Brother Canada, I love you. Oh my god, like, I thought there was a possibility that Jamar or Min Lee could have been the first HOH because they were tied as we went to break and the end of the episode, but Chris is the new HOH, and this is so freaking great. I mean, to get rid of a guy who none of us wanted in our draft, who none of us were really feeling, and then he leaves, he just walks out, we don't even have to deal with a 10-minute, like, 14-0 votes, and then Chris, the brain transformation specialist, is the new HOH, the guy who, like, is making it his mission to give us good TV. Like, Taryn, it's an embarrassment of riches.
Yes, I'm very curious to see where this leads. Now, obviously, we don't know the exact dynamics in the house, but based on what Nico was saying, it seemed like Chris was potentially his only ally, that Chris was the one vote that Nico could rely on, which led me to believe that Chris is perhaps on the outs in the house. And if he won the HOH, what does that mean? I don't know. He could shake up a dynamic that we don't even know about yet, Rob.
And Chris is in neither of the alliances that we've talked about, neither the Misfits or the Evictors. He's not in either one.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a special strategy. Only brain transformation specialists would understand it. But
this is really cool. Like, I don't remember a time in Big Brother recently where somebody got power early on like this, which is essentially the first HOH of the season, and didn't have anything. Like, they're complete and utter wild card.
Well, based on what we had seen in the episodes, now there has been some indication on the feeds based on what little I've been able to pick up here and there as the podcast has been going, that he is in some kind of bro-y alliance with, I believe, Sheldon and Kyle, potentially some more people involved in that. But I believe Sheldon and Kyle are
the three biggest guys are working together.
It seems like that might be the case. And I believe they were also talking about, like, hey, remember what those guys did last season? Let's try to do something like that. We'll see. Obviously, who knows how real this is? This could be a fake alliance for Chris's sake. And now that he's HOH, they're going to play it up here and try to direct his target. There's a lot to learn about the dynamics of this house. The only thing we really know is that Chris is the HOH, and he's probably not going to be targeting Sheldon or Kyle. But I don't think we've seen any indication about where he might actually place that target here, Rob.
Okay. Rob, we'll see.
I just want to pick your brain. So we know that Nico left on the first quit of the season, so they're down one guy already. Given that Chris is HOH and there's a couple of big dudes around him, I'm thinking they don't want to be down two guys in the Big Brother house. So I think it's probably likely that a woman is going to leave, at least on this first eviction, the first actual vote of the summer, unless these guys are totally comfortable being down 2-0 in the gender war. Not that there is a war, but you know, if you start seeing the train go a certain way, I don't think you want to help the train along. So what do you think?
Yeah, but it's only one vote. I think it's too early for that. There's still, 15 people in the house. I think that maybe if you start to get to a trend, but I think that it's going to be more of who are the people I don't trust? And then, it's so early on. We haven't had a real, HOH yet where we could see somebody like Minley going up on the block just because she's not getting along with people. The types of things that we see from a typical first HOH might end up coming to pass in the second week.
Yeah. We talk about this on Survivor all the time that until a vote happens, you don't really know that your alliances are solid. And we haven't seen a vote happen yet in this season. So any alliances, I think, are still probably pretty fluid at this point. I think that what I've seen a little bit of some talk about Jamar and Ming Lee as a potential couple that they've maybe kissed. But she's kind of like, no, that's not a thing. But maybe it's been maybe a little bit of a thing.
She's bored. She's flirting with him. Like she said it in the episode. I'm bored and I need to do something.
Yeah. Brent, what do you think? I feel like that you have a good read on these things. Does she hate his guts or is she in love with him?
I think that if she wasn't under the cameras of Big Brother Canada, that she would probably date this guy in real life. But the fact that he's a little bit of a child, man child, obviously, yeah. I think she doesn't want to be seen as not cool to her peeps at home.
Yeah.
So she's a little worried about hooking up with him. But left to her own devices at her own place, yeah. I think she would definitely date Jamar.
Like last season, where there was in Survivor, there was a moment where Nora was talking about the difference between Jamal and Dean. She's like, I hate Jamal, but I don't care about Dean. That's really it's better that I hate you than I don't care about you. Now, ironically, that she did have feelings with Dean by the end of the season. But I think that, if somebody hates you, they're closer to loving you than the person who doesn't care about you in the first place.
Yeah.
Remember that tonight, Nico.
I'm seeing some indication that that Angie may be a little bit on the outs, that some people find her a little bit annoying, perhaps. And that I've seen a couple of different, I think, conversations talking about how she's not somebody that they particularly enjoy. And Ming Lee is another one of those names that is being thrown out as not particularly enjoyed in the house.
Ming Lee, she cannot end up on the block. She needs to not be on the block. I was annoyed by Angie in her preseason videos, so I understand where the cast is coming from if they are indeed annoyed by her. But I'm thinking if Ming Lee is on the block, Ming Lee is going to go home. Like she needs to avoid the block.
But what a week of the feeds, Brent.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to give that up.
Think of the live feed update for once.
I want more, Rob. I want more.
Put her on the block and she can win the veto.
Okay, I'd be okay with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have any faith that she can win the veto, though.
Hey, she won the first competition.
That's true. That's true. That is very true. Thank you.
All right. Like I said, we just some small snippets. They might not even be particularly accurate, but I don't think there's much more much more information we have here, Rob.
I was amazed, Taryn, that we had not one but two competitions so far this season, and we had zero sponsors in the competition. What is going on, Taryn?
Oh man! Well, they had the sponsored room. I believe
sponsored competitions yet. Is everything okay over at Big Brother Canada?
I'm really looking forward to the Kraft macaroni and cheese competition.
That's your favorite.
Exactly. I'm a huge mac and cheese person. So if we get a mac and cheese competition, I'm down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Remember
Johnny Mac and Cheese.
Our conversation with Arissa Cox at the beginning of the season.
Yes.
Where, Taryn, you asked her about the veto rules. Remember last year, the HOH didn't compete in the veto. And you asked if that was going to be something moving forward. And her answer to that was, I can't say. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. So the chat is telling me that the veto rules are still unconfirmed at this point. But I know that even though we don't know what's exactly going on right now, we will know tomorrow, Taryn, when you do your first update of the season, correct?
Yes, tomorrow morning I will be with Puya. We're going to be talking about what we saw here on the feeds. There's probably going to be a lot to update you guys on and let you know about. I'm reading right now that Kyle just named all four evictors as people potentially working together. So not a great indication there.
Not good, Bob.
There's a lot of stuff trickling through right now. It should be a lot of fun. Make sure you tune in tomorrow morning for us to discuss it all. And as I mentioned before, every morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, as well as Sunday nights after the episode at around 9:15 p.m. Eastern, and then Tuesday nights at around 9:30 Eastern, I believe, for the roundtable. And we're gonna have some fun. It's gonna be a fun season, Rob.
Yeah, I'm excited. Fun group. It's fun to have Big Brother Canada back. You know, if I can ever, you know, a Thursday is a tricky day for me because I do the Survivor podcast normally, but I do like to come on and talk about what's going on, and it gives me incentive to make sure I'm keeping up with the show. So I like to do it.
Yes. Rob's going to pop his head in every once in a while. Like, hey, how's it going, Big Brother Canada?
And by the way,
anybody
out yet?
If you are somebody who is trying to watch the feeds for Big Brother Canada and you're having little problems, you can just go to the top of my Twitter feed at One Lucky Gay, one spelled out O-N-E. I pinned it to the top of my Twitter. There's an entire thread on ways for you to potentially watch the episodes and the feeds of Big Brother Canada. By the way, Taryn, I get so many people who contact me, even like especially when I was down doing the interviews on Sequester, and the people who come in my DMs on Twitter were like, I just love Taryn. I listen to his updates all the time when I'm going to work and like, you know, on my way in the subway, like I'm listening to Taryn, and when he's not there, I don't know what to do. So the fact that you're back, like a lot of people are happy.
I'm happy to be back. It should be a fun season. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Of course, you follow Rob Sesternino on Twitter, of course, check out the Survivor coverage as well. That I just talked to Andy Herron earlier today about the most recent episode of Winners at War. What a landmark season for the show! We're doing the legacy watch, tracking the legacy of the winners as the episodes progress. And Rob has so much great coverage here.
Yeah, well, I really am enjoying the Taryn Survivor update. I can't wait to hear what Andy has to say. I really love the one with Kevin Martin from last week. I had a great chat with T-Bird Cooper. We have, I think, a lot of fun. I think it is a podcast I think that people will enjoy with T-Bird Cooper. And over the weekend, I'm going to get into the feedback show with Jason Linden, and then Taryn on This Week in Survivor, Shuby from The Circle is going to join us. So we're very excited to get Shuby's take on the Survivor social media and more.
Are you going to are you going to catfish him? Is Jordan going to like have some sort of like profile picture as a girl? And then we're going to be like, hey Shuby, I'd like to have you as a brother.
Yeah, we're gonna show him a picture of Jordan Kalish. That's gonna be Kyle from Big Brother Canada. This is the guy you're talking to.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. All right, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us tonight. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'll probably head over there as we watch some of the first night of feeds and sort of catch up and get a grip on what's happening here in the house. So head over there if you want to hang out there. But thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I will see you next time.